This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
And I'm Kip Allen.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest...
Hisham Shehab is a former Muslim who is now a Lutheran minister. He says there's a lot about Islam that Christians should know. I'm Eddie Bates, World Lutheran News Digest, and I speak with Pastor Shehab about this later in the broadcast.
As a result of these cases, there's a microscope on HHS, so if they try to mess around with the rights of religious employers, they are going to be held accountable and subject to legal action.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Royal Lutheran News Digest.
The Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, appeared before United States Congress more than 2 years ago to talk about mandates that came from health care legislation and regulations stipulated by the Health and Human Services Department in the United States. This week, following an extended period of legal maneuvers, the United States Supreme Court issued a ruling that gave the owners of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood a legal victory. It would allow those corporations to continue its policy of not providing paid-for abortifacients. Harrison spoke to World Lutheran News Digest about this week's Supreme Court decision and the comments made by Justice Samuel Alito.
What was most incredible is that... In a 5-4 decision, and we kind of thought it might head this way because of the argumentation, in a 5-4 decision, the court held that the burden over against the free exercise clause of the Constitution, that the burden put both by way of penalties for not complying for Hobby Lobby and Conestoga were onerous, and therefore such companies did not have to actually provide abortifacients for their employees. Out of some 20 medications that are possible for birth control, 4 were noted to be those that are abortifacients or that kill life in the womb. And that's what the owners, the Greens of Hobby Lobby and also the owners of Conestoga, objected to providing through their company's health plans because it conflicted with their Christian convictions, which are the same as ours in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Pastor Matt Harrison leads what is both a nonprofit corporate group and a Lutheran church body.
This is a large piece. We did not, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we did not oppose Obamacare as such, or the health care legislation as such. What we were opposed to was mandating that plans, whether religious or otherwise, provide medications that can cause death in the womb. I mean, we are in principle opposed to that. So this is just one victory along the way. We'll wait to see how it shakes out, but it seems that the court cases where religious entities, particularly Catholic universities, hospitals, are objecting to the HHS mandates to provide abortifacients for employees as contraception, it seems like those cases will be moot as far as this case is concerned. So that's a huge piece. But the onslaught against religious freedom is just going to continue apace. There's no doubt about that. Basically, I find it somewhat ironic and humorous. The future of the United States is quite often in the hands of one Justice Kennedy, who is a Roman Catholic libertarian. So the court comes up with pro-gay marriage rulings as a result of Kennedy's leanings and desires. But Kennedy, being a libertarian, when he comes up with rulings like this that the traditional Christian community is in favor of, well, then folks don't like freedom so much. I find it kind of ironic.
With this week's Supreme Court of the United States ruling comes some scrutiny from those who believe in having religious freedom and from those who oppose religion.
The justices, I think, believe that the Constitution, when it talks about, in the First Amendment, the right to free exercise of religion, is quite serious. What was most distressing to me already 2.5 years ago, when I really looked hard at the HHS regulations involving nonprofits as I was flying to testify in D.C., I noticed that the Obama administration, the Department of Health and Human Services in this case, defined religious freedom as essentially the freedom to assemble. And we believe, and in this case with five justices, thank God, who believe that religious freedom is a rather expansive concept. That is, the government has to have overwhelming cause to restrict a person's ability to act according to one's religious convictions and conscience in this country. And so that is something we rejoice over. It will be very interesting to see what happens in the future when you have the clash between the definition of gay rights as a civil rights issue, that clash with the religious freedom and free exercise clause. That's going to be very interesting. It will continue to unfold in ways that are going to be, no doubt, very challenging.
This whole case was with Conestoga Wood and Hobby Lobby. Those owners had a very specific set feeling for their religious upbringing and their religious rights. And this is one of the cornerstones of this ruling, is it not? That it's about the religion and who brings it to their company early. Is that how I'm understanding it?
It's somewhat interesting. The ruling was written by Alito, and he calls upon the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. It's called RFRA. And at the time, it passed overwhelmingly in Congress. What had happened was that over time, government agencies, whenever government money was provided to some church-related entity or institution, like a social ministry agency or something like that, whenever there was federal money involved, then HUD and other organizations, government departments, would make sure that no religious images could be on the wall in such cases. Nobody could participate in a prayer, say, at a soup kitchen that received any kind of state or federal money, even if the prayer was voluntary. RFRA basically argued, and we saw this also taken up by the Bush administration, Bush 2, but RFRA argues that just because an agency has some federal funding doesn't mean it can be denuded of its religious convictions. So this act was very significant here and recognizes, especially and apparently for the first time, that in the case of closely held public corporations, that is corporations that are public but owned overwhelmingly by one or two families, that a corporation is treated as a person. And this is based directly upon RFRA, and so it grants this corporation religious freedom, religious rights. So that is something that is quite significant at this moment.
Does it feel like a protection?
Well, I'm sure it does. If you take the Greens, who were facing, as I read the case, Alito notes that the Greens were facing with Hobby Lobby some $400 million in penalties. So you can bet it is a definite boon to them and a great relief.
A relief for Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood, but it may not mean relief for all entities who uphold their religious beliefs. The attacks may continue in certain areas.
So that's what we face, just a continued deep struggle over the issues of religious freedom.
You issued a statement on the Supreme Court ruling, and in it you said, "And so we pray, we confess, we live." Would you like to take a moment to expand upon that?
Well, we live in extremely challenging times. We have the blessings of government, and we have the challenges of government. You know, just 30 years ago, a Commission on Theology document on sexuality came out, and it stated, "We thank God that we live in a country where the sexual mores of the state, federal government, and the church are essentially the same. Well, that quickly changed. But in the face of that, we pray. You know, Paul says that we should pray for our rulers. And quite significantly, he wrote that likely during the reign of Nero. We continue to pray for our rulers every week in church. That is a significant contribution of the Christian church for the well-being of the world and the blessing of this country. We are going to confess. We're going to stand up and say what we believe. We're going to be kind and charitable to all. And even where we disagree with federal law or federal cases, we are going to be charitable. And for us, it behooves us, as we confess, to love everybody, truly so, to love people who are caught in the lies of this culture, and to have our doors open and our arms open for sinners, for everybody. That's who we are. We are sinners, all of us. And we're going to live that way. That's who we are. We're going to live as forgiven sinners. We're going to live speaking the gospel of free forgiveness through Christ Jesus. And we're going to be good citizens, raising up children to be good citizens, following the laws, except where we cannot. That is, we must obey God rather than men, just like the apostles, when push comes to shove. And that's what we'll do. God help us. Amen.
And so it goes. Another court case, this one decided on the side of religious freedom. Each case is based upon different certainties and whether or not evidence is admissible in a court of law. Other cases are pending. And meanwhile, Lutherans pray.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hewe Longafi Lutheran Fihawa.
Pastor Isham Shihab is a convert from Islam to Christianity. He says if Muslims become Christians, they give up everything, sometimes even their lives.
Muslims are the religion and the community is so organized that it's difficult to go through, and only the Holy Spirit can do it. So anybody who would, consider conversion will be disowned by his family, and his family may sometimes kill him if it's possible, you know. I faced this myself when I was, before meeting Reverend Dr. Lutz in Beirut, Lebanon, I was like a secret believer, you know, but Pastor Lutz gave me more courage, and I joined hands with him. He was like a lone ranger looking for Tonto, and he found me, you know. And we evangelized together. We went out, and I had really to leave after 3 years. And when I tried to visit my father in 2010, he was sick and dying. And two of my cousins, as I said, I was an only child after my brother was killed, my only sibling. My cousins tried to kill me. They tried to ambush me at the airport. I had to drive out and take a rental and drive out from the secure area in the airport and go to the stay in a monastery in the mountains, you know, for 13 days. Another guy called Muhammad, I baptized in 2012 in Trinity Burridge, really. We joined hands with many churches here in Chicagoland. One of them is Trinity Burridge, where Pastor Bob Gieschel supports the mission. And Muhammad from Palestine described it as the most beautiful day of his life. When and he sent, I mean, they discovered, because I posted it on, he didn't mind, I put it on YouTube, and the Kataib al-Aqsa, which is, this is a brigade of Hamas, sent a warning to his family that when he comes back, we'll kill him. And I really had, I translate that from Arabic into English, and, you know, it's, our lives are threatened when we do take this step. It's the last red line that Muslims are not allowed to cross. Mm-hmm. And so what we need is a lot of care and a lot of loving care towards those who convert. They come here to the States. One of them described the States as a social desert, you know, compared to the social heaven in the Middle East, if I can say. A social desert where people, you go to church, people say hi and bye, you know. But in the Middle East, they are involved in your life, and they are involved in your life. I mean, you are involved in their lives, you know. So social life is very active, and they come here, discover that a lot of individualism, a lot of materialism. This is why, really, we have to look at discipleship seriously and follow up on those people. I am in touch with Bernard, Reverend Lutz, regularly to help me, you know, disciple people as well as raise funds for this ministry. Also, we support the distribution of Bibles among Syrian refugees in Lebanon. I just received an email from the Lutheran Hour Ministry office there that we need more Bibles. Please, Hisham, raise funds for us, because we are given 500, you know, copies of Arabic New Testament to Syrian refugees. They have all the time on their hands, you know, and they are loafing around, hanging out with, you know, at street corners. To give them something that expresses the love of God for them is very important. So it needs a lot of work, a lot of resources. And by the way, not all Muslims are terrorists. Maybe most terrorists are Muslims nowadays, but only 15% of them are terrorists. I know it's a big chunk. There are 1.5 billion people. But, I mean, Muslims are sinners like us who need the love of Christ, need the saving love of Jesus Christ, you know. So this is one thing. Another thing is that to shift gears as a Muslim from a work religion into a grace religion is sometimes difficult. So this is why Lutheran theology is very important, you know. There are some who kind of convert but still have this mentality of works, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is very important to make them, you know, understand the gospel properly. So this is why Lutheran theology kicks in here and is very, very relevant. If I can say the most important thing, you know, here. Recently, we published reprinted, really, the Arabic Catechism in Arabic by permission from Beirut, Lebanon. Lutheran Heritage Foundation did that. So we have now the Arabic Catechism in Arabic, understandable, legible to people from 22 Arabic countries. It was, the first translation was Sudanese Arabic. Now we have it as a resource. I give it to, I catechize people using this Arabic catechism. I had copies, I mean, from Lebanon before, really, the reprint by Lutheran Heritage, but I'm saying that we have it in Arabic now with explanations and comments, so it's very important to understand that we need them to shift from the work, you know, religion to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So another thing which is the biggest stumbling block is they misunderstand the Son of God, you know, Jesus, the Son of God. So they think it's a physical relationship between God and Mary, you know. This is a heresy that was inherited from, I mean, by Islam, from some heretic Christians, I believe, in the early centuries of Christianity, and Muhammad picked on that, and this is why they misunderstand the Trinity by sometimes saying it's Father, Son, Mary, you know, because of the Catholic influence, I believe. But I'm saying that the issue is they need to understand that Jesus is the Word of God, and sometimes I use some verses from the Quran where Jesus is described as the Word of Allah, and I don't really mix between both, but I'm saying that to build this bridge and ask questions, you think that Jesus or believe that Jesus is the Word of Allah. What do you mean by that? They don't know what it means, you know. So we draw them into the Bible, into the Gospel of John here, and they as they read, they are intrigued, you know. And we use the Jesus film, which is based on the Gospel of Luke, and we raise funds for sometimes, like today, I'm given two refugees two cars, and one of them, was already baptized before, and another one was baptized here. Lutheran Church Charities help in raising funds for educating those people. I'm sending one of the of my parishioners, if I can call them, to the Lutheran Hour Ministry conference in Detroit, really, on missions, you know. So we have to join hands and all share our resources together, you know. It's really a very challenging ministry, especially that, as I said, the culture is very strong, mm-hmm. and needs a lot of work in order to show them that we really love them, or originally love them, you know. There are some missionaries who go out, and when they baptize somebody, it's like leaving a notch on your gun handle, you know what I mean? And leave that it's like having a baby and throwing it in the street without discipleship. But we really care about the people we baptize, and we follow up on them, and we keep inviting them, and keep driving them places, and involving them in activities, Bible studies, and in order to replace that community they lost, because they lose everything when they make this conversion, you know. And we have to create a surrogate community that would welcome them, accept them, and consider them part of it, yes.
Converts from Islam lost much, but they've gained eternity. Andy Bates, World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.